Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
We are still here today at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where we are seeing many friends of old, and we're meeting new friends, and we're learning about all kinds of different organizations that are in Israel or involved in Israel. And so we now have with us as our special guest, David Roth and Menachem Bar Shalom of the Israel Magen Fund. And so we're going to learn all about that organization and their work. Let's start with the word Magen for our English-speaking audience. It means sealed?
Like Magen Adom?
Doesn't it mean like
a shield?
Yeah, so the Red Cross in Israel is called Magen David Adom. So it's the red shield of David, which means the Star of David, right? The Magen David is the star.
It's Star of David, but it's before that, it was the Shield of David.
The Shield of David. So, all right, so tell me then about the Israel Magen Fund.
What I'll let David talk. He founded the organization, and I came along afterwards.
He founded it.
Yeah. So I founded it 3 years ago. Israel Magen Fund. The idea behind it is to get to volunteers in medical and security or places that need help by not just giving financial help, but actually delivering equipment that's needed in the ground. Being around with Menachem to many different organizations, helping fundraise events, etc. But we always isolate the lack of the end user actually getting what he needs to get. So therefore I decided to start this organization, Menachem was helping me out, to give out equipment by purchasing it and giving it, not just giving you a check.
Right.
It's actually going and see what you need, evaluate what you need, and assess, etc., and then give it to them. In this way, I feel it's the best way of giving. Best way of giving for the donor to feel that you actually appreciate my money, you did your checking and you did what you did, and making sure that someone who needs it gets it.
So what year did you start? And was there some event that kind of kicked this off?
Basically, I used to work for a different organization for many years, and I always had the pack. I enjoyed much more on the ground level of being there involved in the logistics of buying and giving, much less than the fundraising of it. Unfortunately, we have to raise money to do all this.
Right.
But that's what I'm enjoying doing. And we started off working in Yehuda v'Shomron, Judea and Samaria. We met with the different residents over there, the different security departments of the region of Binyamin, region of Shomron, asked them what they need, get a list. And of course, they think, okay, so Santa Claus showed up and you can give them whatever you want. So I said, okay, so you give me a list. So they give you a list of 25 items. I said, okay, it's very nice. You add it all up, you're getting to like $20 million. I'm not able to do that kind of money. But pinpoint for me the top 3 or 4 items that you think are the most important, vital for today. So they came up with three items. The first one was ATVs, off-road 4x4 small vehicles to help them fight fires in Israel, in Yehuda v'Shomron with farms and neighborhoods that the neighbors try to set fire to them, terrorist attacks basically, burn down the vineyards, burn down the fields.
Yes.
And they need their first responder to come with a small vehicle, put the fire out.
So we supplied a few ATVs down in the south. Was that with you in partnership?
So south, we copied in the south.
Okay.
And we said, okay, that works over there.
Yeah.
Let's take it to Shomron, to Yehuda, to Binyamin. And we sat with the regional council of Eshkol, where those ones went to. And they gave us exactly the same thing. We took it to Binyamin, and it was a bit of a dangerous thing. Why? because in the area itself, it's very flat. So this vehicle, it can easily drive over. But in the Binyamin and Shomron, Yehuda and Shomron, you have, it's mountains. They're nearly tipped over with all the water in the back. So we had to think again, what are we going to do? So we leveled out the vehicle, same concept, put the weight in a different way, and reduced the weights, and we did it.
Well, I want to say why this is so important, because in Judea and Samaria, in that area, it's the hill country with a lot of trees on the sides of the hills. And every year you have a problem with fires, and many of them are started by arson.
Yes.
So it's a terrorist attack through lighting fires to destroy the forest and destroy the trees. So to have these all-terrain vehicles that can get in there quickly with water and put it out before it spreads.
We were the first ones to buy these vehicles and to reconfigure them to become firefighting vehicles. One of the heads of security in the Binyamin Council, smart guy, good hands, for a couple of $1,000, he reconfigured the vehicle and turned them. So we had three or four of them. And then we got calls from other councils. We heard about this and we needed two. You know, the Palestinians everywhere, you know, if they have an opportunity, they want to put the fire all the fields.
So far we have eight vehicles working in the field. It's quite a lot of money to buy each one of those. It's like between $50,000 to $70,000 each one.
Wow.
And we have some good friends that helped us, and we did it. And we're looking to buy some more. That was one thing that we had to do, is ATVs.
Yes.
The other thing was drones.
Drones.
Not a kid's drone.
Yeah.
A drone that works on thermal vision at night, and it can go up in the air for 30 minutes. And if someone comes into one of these farms or to one of these neighborhoods, they can put up the drone within minutes, see where it's coming from, send the security team to that direction. Even when they talk about the fires, right? They can see who came and direct the vehicle. Started.
So the drones are a security measure for terrorists. So they'll see where they are, where they're coming from, where they lit the fire.
If you remember, there was an attempt for a terrorist attack a month and a half ago in the south of Hebron. And they came in and they shot one soldier. So when it started, they put up a drone within minutes.
Is that right?
It was at night. And they were able to see exactly where they are, send the soldiers to that area, and they took care of it.
In English is Hebron. Yeah. So our Bible readers may know of Hebron.
So the drones are necessary, I don't want to say all over the country, but certainly in the hilltop villages, communities, in the Shomron, in Binyamin, in the Hebron region, and south, down south also. Most of the kibbutzim moshavim that were attacked, I think there are 44 of them, most of them do not have, you know, one of these semi-expensive drones, the more expensive ones also. If we had the money to buy 10, 20, we'd be able to give them away overnight.
You're saying there were 44 communities that were attacked?
22 were attacked, and then next envelope was another 20. Like they went in like at least 5-6 kilometers.
Yeah.
We met with communities on the next tear.
Okay.
And
people,
like I said, we have to be prepared.
Okay.
I got a phone call this week. One of the security teams says, we need a drone. Says, we thought we were going to get one. Can you donate one? I said, yeah. I never say no to anyone. I say always yes.
It's hard
figure it out.
To have to say no, I tell you.
And,
so how much does a drone cost?
This kind of drone is $8,500.
$8,000. Yeah, and it adds up, and it's...
And these is proven that they can save a life. And this is what we do in Israel again, fun, that we identify the problem where the end user, like I said in the beginning, is missing his equipment. We buy it and deliver it.
Wonderful.
And that's what we're doing.
Wonderful.
And since the beginning of the war, we've been delivering to the field, to soldiers, thousands of soldiers through our help received warm jackets, thermal undershirts, head flashlights, a bunch of equipment. Each of these units called us up, from a friend I heard, and I didn't give a number. No, my friend heard that that was okay. What do you need? Says we need coats, we need this, and we do it.
And let me explain. So when Israel first went to war and they called up the reserves, it was the largest call up ever, 300,000 reserves, and they had 360,000 show up.
Right.
And they didn't have enough equipment for everybody. Yeah. They didn't even have enough food to feed 100%. People.
Yeah.
And so that's when the community jumped in and provided.
In Israel and abroad.
Yeah, we all were making donations. We're trying to find, the blankets you sleep in, sleeping bags.
Sleeping bags.
Blankets, flashlights, all that. Plus, then even protective gear.
Yes, yes.
Bulletproof vest and helmets and all. But I think now, hasn't the supply line sort of caught up?
Supply line caught up. There is still a need, not in the same size league. You have to understand that basically what we're giving them is some upgrading what they get, right?
Okay.
A sleeping bag to get from the army, right?
Yeah.
Is it the best sleeping bag?
Probably not.
Right? Is it warm enough at night?
With the jackets.
A jacket. Is it a good jacket? It's good enough. It's sufficient, right? So what we're giving is something a bit better. Right?
Uh-huh.
Making sure they're getting something a bit better. And now we've seen the problem in the Army, in IDF, and the resources in what the Army does. So we are working now on programs that soldiers going in now to the Army should get from the beginning already certain equipment that we can deliver to them. Then when they recruit going in, and end of March is going to be a big recruiting of new soldiers coming in. And they're even bringing forward now because of the situation, certain a teenager that's supposed to go in another year from now, and we brought them into March, and in April they're going in. It's a big gap that the Army is trying to build up.
Of course, for the troops that are being sent up north, it's cold.
Very cold.
Very cold.
And
I've been to places where up north, when months ago it was pouring, it was rain, snow. Our equipment gate all the way up to the northern part of Mount Hermon. That's the coldest part of Israel.
Yeah, it's freezing
and
cold.
And those coats we bought, they really loved them.
I've been on the Golan Heights with the tour group before, and that wind is blowing, and it will just freeze you all the down to the bones. So
They organized the last 2-3 months, maybe half a dozen barbecues for hundreds of soldiers.
Yeah.
I mean, they have what to eat, but it's not the same quality.
No, of course not.
And it's nothing like a good on-the-spot barbecue for soldiers.
So, well, it's wonderful to hear about your work, and I hope that we're partnering with you there in Jerusalem. So. And
you can recommend the viewers or listeners to go online at IsraelMagaidFund.org.
Okay.
They can learn more about the organization. They can contribute online. We're a legal 501c3 in America, and we're also in Israel as well.
Wonderful. Well, these are the kinds of really heartwarming stories of, in the face of need, how that the people come together and start these kinds of charities to help provide for the people greater security and even warmth and food, you know, for the soldiers. It's really heartwarming. And
the message we got from this war, and really hope we get this message clear for everyone, is the unity.
Yes.
And making sure that we're all united together, and enough with the people fighting in different ideas, because without one another, we're not going to be.
Yes,
you're not going to work.
Israel had a lot of division last year with the protests and the fights over the laws and all. But now I think a lot of that has been overcome. That there's greater unity in Israel, and we're seeing greater unity amongst Jews and Christians too. And so that we all come together and we work together for the betterment of Israel and for the people there. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you for the work you're doing.
It's nice to hear about what you're doing. God bless.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.